Let's open our Bibles this morning to Romans 8. I was going to actually just go over the trip report, but I think I'll do that Wednesday night with a lot of pictures and video and things like that. But in Romans, beginning verse, Romans 8, chapter 8, verses 28 to 30. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, and we know that that's Ephesians 1, verse 3 to 4, that we were in him before the foundations of the world. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now, if Jesus Christ is the firstborn among many brethren, then he is the eldest son in a very large family of brothers. Moreover, whom he did predestinate beforehand, them he also called beforehand. And those whom he called beforehand, them he also justified beforehand. And whom he also justified beforehand, them he also glorified already in his thoughts before the foundations of the world. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you for your word. We believe you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. We're thankful, Father, to be home after being gone for 3 weeks. Lord, we ask that you would bless your word this morning, and may it truly settle into our souls. May it conform us, Lord, to the image of your firstborn Son. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. It's very good to be here this morning. And it's been a long and arduous trip. And I'll speak more of that on Wednesday. Although I did want to show you something here. I became very rich on this trip because I got a $50 billion bill from Zimbabwe. But I think it's only worth about 2 cents in the U.S. So I thought I'd put Obama's picture on it here. And then we could call it the United States of Zimbabwe, because that's what our dollars are going to be worth here shortly. But anyway. As you know, Zimbabwe, they don't use their own currency anymore. They use the U.S. dollar and the South African rand, because they got to the point where they were printing these $50 billion, and the next thing came trillions. And of course, they couldn't even put anything on the back side, because they didn't have time, because by the time the paper dried, it was already two zeros to the left of or it needed two more zeros to the right. So they were doing that in the banks, and it's just in a state of chaos. But that's what happens when you reject God, and that's what's happening to this nation, and I believe the rest of the world. But now Paul says, for whomsoever he did predestinate, that means he did also beforehand predestinate, them he has called. So we were called while we were in him before the foundations of the world. In Ephesians 1, verse 3 to 5, Paul says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath, past tense, chosen us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy. That means a consecrated and set apart people, and without blame before him. And that word before is a Greek word, emprosyne, which means in his presence. Therefore, in love, he has predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. So not only did he choose us, or selected us out, while we were yet in him before the foundations of the world, but he also selected us out, he foreordained our end to be adoptable sons. Because Brother Branham said where Pentecost went wrong is that Pentecost thought, well, just becoming sons is okay, that's it. And they didn't realize that you got to be the right kind of a son in order to come to be adopted. So he's conformed us to the image of his uniquely born, firstborn son, Jesus. So he predestinated our path to that very conforming to the image of the firstborn son. And this morning I'd like to talk about being conformed to the image of the eldest son and what it means to us. Now, in his message, Spoken Words, the Original Seed, in paragraph 83, we hear Brother Bram say, all of God's sons must be the same. Well, if all of God's sons must be the same, then we have to be the same as the firstborn son. And as we mentioned before I left, that when we read this to you, Brother Branham, he said that Jesus, what made us different from the Son is only that he had the fullness. He had the Holy Spirit without measure. We have it with a measure. And but he said, but the thing of it is that, you know, he said, if you take that cup of water out of the ocean, everything that's in the ocean is potentially there in the cup. So you have the same nature. And if you have the same nature, then you'll have the same works. And so that's the important thing for us to understand, is that if God's nature is in us, and it'll do the same things that it did in His Son. And so God then, as we spoke last time, and I've been speaking all across Africa, God wants to inhabit you. He wants to live out your circumstances. You know, we all have different circumstances. My wife and I, we share the same bedroom, we share the same house, but we have certain circumstances that she has that I don't have, and I have that she doesn't have. And even my children, we all share the same house, but they have different circumstances. And even my children, one from the other, have different circumstances. And yet God wants to live out in our set of circumstances, no matter who we are. So that's why He wants us to be conformed to the image of His Son. And so Brother Branham says, all of God's sons must be the same. Yes, sir. To be born of the Word and Spirit brings us back to the spoken word again in John 3. See, to be born of water and spirit, what does it do? Then it brings you right back again under the place of where you should have been at the beginning. And I'd like to add that, where were we at in the beginning? We were in the mind of God. So the way that God saw us in Himself before the foundations of the world is where God wants to get us. You know, He saw Jesus as the lamb slain before the foundations of the world, and yet Brother Branham told us that God had to wait for Jesus to make up His mind whether He was going to go through with it or not. And if God had to wait for Him, well, you can understand why He's waiting for us, you see. So that makes me feel good, actually, because then I'm not such a slacker after all. Because if I dodged my responsibility, well, we know Jesus dodged His. And in fact, Brother Branham, we find him in one of his sermons saying that. I'll share it with you in just a moment. But so you see, Brother Branham says, see, that's the reason of Christ's death. It brings us right back again to where? To where? He said, to sons of God. Now then, let's jump forward to paragraph 85, where Brother Branham says, now, this brings you right back to the spoken word. Then we are God's word made manifest. See, Jesus said the same thing. He that believeth on me, the things that, who I am, what I came for, and the purpose that I do, to bring back, to believe the word of God and take nothing else with it, the works that I do, He will do also. There you are. So you see, God wants all of His children to be like the firstborn son. That is His purpose in having many sons. And we are ordained to be conformed to that image. And since that image was the expressed image of the Father, according to Hebrews 1 and 3, which is God, who at sundry time in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers through the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us in His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as He hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said He at any time, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten Thee, and again I will be to Him a Father, and He shall be to me a Son. So if Jesus being a Son was much better than the angels, then what about you and I? We're sons also. You see, we think, well, because I wasn't the firstborn son, that doesn't make me, you know, doesn't. Well, look, every family has brothers. I had three brothers. I have one that's the oldest, I had one that's the youngest, and I have two in between. Brother Vail is my older brother, but he's not the eldest brother. Brother Branham was his older brother. And Jesus is the eldest, you see. Paul was Brother Branham's older brother. I mean, let's face it, we just go on. And we have older brothers, but we have a bunch of brothers in the family. But the main thing is, we're supposed to be conformed to the image of the firstborn son, who came in the image of the Father. So that's the ultimate, is that God wants children that are like Him. Now, I'm getting back to what Brother Branham is saying in paragraph 86. He says, why is it not being done today? It's a hybrid bastard children that's mixed up. It's a mule. It don't know what it believes. A mule don't know who his daddy is, who his mama is. He don't. He's no pedigree. There's nothing to him. He's an illegitimate creature. That's the way any person that claims to believe God and don't believe His word will take a denominational creed and breed it with the word. See, you're not of God. You're dead. You can't be dead and alive at the same time. So even the word of God don't even grow. You're just playing the part of a hypocrite. let that go for bishop, priest, cardinal, or whoever it might be. That's right. It's got to be the word or you're dead, just an illegitimate child. And God's word, God part won't grow. You might grow in the same field as we're getting to directly, but you're not in the same fold. It won't grow. So look, the fact that people don't understand who they are. We know that, beloved, now are we sons of God, yet it doesn't appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. And so the importance for us to understand is that you may not know who you are, but if you're a son of God, you are ordained to know it. You're ordained to know who you are. You're ordained to know your Father. And let's face it, you can't mature until you come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. That's what the ministry of the fivefold is all about. And so if you have a fivefold ministry who rejects the knowledge of the Son of God, then how are the people ever going to mature? How are the people ever going to come to the place where they become conformed to the image of the firstborn Son if they don't believe there is a firstborn Son? So you see, if we were in God before the foundations of the world, as Paul said in Galatians 2 and 20, he said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Now, this is not just Paul speaking. This is you and I. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I'm living. Yet it's not I that's living, but Christ is living in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I'm living by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So it is not I that am living. It's Christ living in me. The anointed life of the Father that was in the firstborn Son that is also living itself out in me. That is what Paul also said in Colossians 3 and 1. He said, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with God, hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, shall phaneru, then shall you also appear with him in glory, in the same opinion, in the same values, in the same judgment. That means we must come to the place where we're willing to die out to self. We must come like Jesus to the place where we're not trying to dodge the new birth, but we're willing to surrender ourselves to it. So it is not what you do, but what you just surrender yourself to. Brother Branham said in Hebrews 7, part 2, he said, God takes a man and makes them different. Not man taking God and becoming different, but God takes men and makes him different. It's not what you do, what you will, what you think. It's what God does. And from to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? He said, now the first thing you must do is surrender yourself entirely to Christ and surrender your mind to his word. Lord, I won't act upon my own feelings, upon my own thoughts. I will only act upon your word. I'll have no control of my own thoughts concerning it. I will act upon your word. Now, get that straight. So what Brother Branham is letting us know is that, look, our thoughts don't have anything to do with it at all. Just completely letting go and letting God. Just getting out of the way so that God can use you. From how can I overcome? He said, see, if the little baby keeps trying, oh, I can do it, I can do it, and he's just everywhere, he can't do it. Neither can you, neither can I. But if we just hold still and let him do it, just yield to him. Here, Lord, here I am. Just let me be nothing. And I yield. You put my hand in the right place. That's the victory. That's overcoming. The thing you have to overcome is yourself, your ideas, your things, and surrender yourself to him. He overcome for you. He knows the way. We don't. He's already gone through the trials. The Bible says everything that we go through, Jesus Christ went through. He knows the way. He is the way. So how do we overcome? It's not you overcoming. It's not me overcoming. It's Christ in me. That's the hope of glory. From uncertain sound, he said, it's God's love and mercy measured out to you to take it. Don't cost you in one thing. Only thing it costs you is just surrender your life to him and receive it. How simple. Just forget all that you ever knew and just surrender yourself to him. And that's how it comes. It's just receiving it that way. And from it wasn't so from the beginning. He said, every man has got to be born again. And this sinful nature killed in him. And the sinful nature killed in him, and a new man born in him, which is Christ Jesus, the Son of God. Then you surrender yourself completely to Christ, and Christ come in and writes the book of Acts through you. How I know that's the truth, my friend. How I know that's the truth. Why? Because he did it. He died to self. And God came in, and Brother Branham was so much like the firstborn son, so conformed to the image of the firstborn son, people thought he was a firstborn son. How many people thought Brother Branham was Jesus Christ? A lot of people did. You see? From Christianity versus idolatry, he says, we in his image, a living image of the living God. When you surrender yourself to God and God comes into you, what does it make you? A living image of God. So that is what we want to be by God's grace this morning. Just living, a living image of the living God, just like his firstborn son was. But we must die to self and we must surrender our hearts and our minds to God and accept every word that he says as our guide and as our instructions for how we must live and how to love. Jesus said, the things that I speak are what my Father commanded me what to say. So there you are. That's how to be a son in the image of the firstborn son. Listen to what Jesus said of his relationship to his Father. He said in John 12, 49-50, for I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He hath given me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. He also said in John 5, 19, that the works I do, or the Son can do nothing but what he sees the Father do. And that do the Son likewise. He said the works, the Father works and the Son works hitherto. In other words, not my own ideas of what I think that my Father might want me to do or want me to say. No, that's not it at all. That would be our own mental reasoning. But he said, the Son can do nothing but what he seeth the Father do. That doeth the Son likewise. The Father works, and the Son works hitherto. From a sermon from that time, Brother Branham said, and she got down on her knees, and I asked her to pray. Now, this is a woman who had, she was raised up in a good Christian home, but she went by the wayside. She became a little prostitute. And at this time, Brother Branham met with her, and they were able to bring her to salvation. And Brother Brown said, and she got down on her knees, and I asked her to pray. And she prayed for a few moments. She looked over at me, and she said, Brother Branham, I now am going to make a new start. And I said, sis, it won't do you one bit of good. You're going just exactly the same road you've been over. It won't work. And she said, I mean it in all my heart. And I said, I know you do. But the devil's stronger than any mental powers that you can put to him. That's the reason I don't believe in an intellectual religion. I believe a man's got to be born again of the Holy Spirit. It's got to be deeper than your thinking. It's got to be an experience. And she said, what must I do? I said, just stay right there. And we prayed and prayed. And I went ahead and prayed with some people and come back. She was praying. I come to her again. After a while, I come back and she was deeply in sincerity. In a few moments, she raised up with tears running down her cheek. She looked me in the face. She said, Brother Branham, something's happened. I said, you don't have to turn no new page now. The woman's now married and has a family and a lovely, sweet, born-again, Holy Spirit-filled saint, because God could take her back to a place where she started to go wrong. That's his goodness. And from that time, she was a changed woman. From the time of a young girl to one time, she was evil. God taken her back, and from that time, she was different. So you see, people say, well, we don't go by experience. You know, Brother Vales mentioned that where he talked to Brother Branham, because when they're talking about the evidence of the Holy Spirit, he said, well, what about the experience of Brother Branham? You had them. Brother Branham said, Lee, we don't go by experience, we go by the Word of God. But that doesn't do away with the experience. You see, you have to understand that. That doesn't do away with the fact that there is an experience. We just don't go by the experience. We go by the Word of God, because people can have experiences. And being born again of corruptible seed, they have a new birth and a new birth again, a new birth again. But that doesn't mean there is not an experience. Brother Branham himself said, he said, it's not just an intellectual thing. And that's the problem I see in the message today. Many of the young people that have been raised up, second generation, third generation, have not been born again. God is not living their life for them. They're living it and they're trying to live a good life, and that's okay. But that'll not get you a rapturing body. That'll not get you a change of the flesh. That'll get you tribulation. You've got to die out to self completely. You've got to let Christ come in and live his life through you. And you will know when you're born again. You will know when God has given you that life-altering experience. And it is a life-altering experience. It'll change your thinking. You see, God is not coming for a people who think that this message is just a new creed or something. And the doctrine of Christ is not theology to be argued over. Not at all. The doctrine of Christ is a reality of your position in the family of God. The doctrine of Christ, to know it and understand it from your heart, will bring with it the same life that was in the firstborn son. And you will see your own life become a reflection of his life. Because God wants to live out his life through your life. He wants to live out his life through your vessel in your own set of circumstances. You see, I have different circumstances than my wife, as I said before. My daughters have different circumstances. They have different needs than I have. I have different needs than they have. But Christ wants to fulfill those needs if you would just let him. Paul said in Ephesians 4 and 1, and 11, excuse me, and he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, that means the building up of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith. There's only one Lord, one faith. And the faith is that is the revelation of that one Lord, the revelation of Jesus Christ. And he says, till we all come in the unity of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, that's a mature man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So you see, without the knowledge of the Son of God, without the revelation of Jesus Christ, and our understanding of the relationship between the Father and his firstborn Son, we'd never know how to act as children. We wouldn't have a pattern. You see? We'd never grow up. And Paul said, that we henceforth, being no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working. And that word effectual working is the energy of God. According to the energy of God in the measure of every part. So it matters not what measure you've got. Or what measure you've been given. Paul said, if I have faith to move all mountains, or if he said, if I have all faith to move mountains, and Jesus said, if you have faith just the size of a mustard seed to move mountains, and don't doubt in your heart, it'll be done. You see, you don't have to have the full measure that Jesus had to live the life that Jesus had. You just have to have that nature in you to do it. You have to have that same yielding of your spirit to his spirit, or to your Father's spirit. So it matters not what measure you have been given. That same energy of God will work in you in the same way, in the same nature, and with the same results that it worked in the whole. And it will. And it maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. The trials and tests that God gives to each of you are very unique for your own life, your own circumstances. And God wants your vessel to reflect himself through your circumstances. And it matters not who you are. As I said, my circumstances are different from my wife's. Hers are different from my daughter's. And each of my daughters have different circumstances from each other. Although they may share some circumstances, they have others that are different. But God wants to live out their lives and show himself the same yesterday, today, and forever in each one of them. No matter who you are, if you're a son or daughter of God, he wants to borrow your body. As Brother Branham said, I want to loan it to him, give it to him, whatever he can get out of it. You see? Just surrender yourself to him that he might use your vessel to manifest his life through it. And that is what life is all about. It's not seeing what you can do with this vessel, but allowing God to use it to see what he can do with your vessel. When I was in Africa traveling from Malawi to Choma, Zambia, we had a set of circumstances set upon us that I'm not used to here. And here, if you have a flat tire or you have something go wrong with the car, you pull over, you call AAA or you call... whatever one of the roadside services you can, they come, they haul the car away, or they come with a tire, or they come with a patch kit, or whatever they do, they come and you're done in a few minutes. But first, the first thing is when we set out from Lusaka, let me just say this. I'll just go into a little detail here. We're family. But it took us 36 hours to get across Zambia. We started out we were supposed to have had a van to take us, but the van broke down on the way over, and the right front wheel had to be the bearing went out, so they had to replace it. All right, that took almost a week, but they had it ready for us in Lusaka when we arrived. Well, we left by over-the-road bus, you know, just one of these overnight buses. But they have a new law that they couldn't travel at night, so we had to stay in this little town called Chapada. Sounded almost Mexican to me. We got to Chapada, and our bus, we got there close to midnight and late at night, anyway, maybe it's 10 o'clock. And the next bus, the bus wouldn't travel then until 5 in the morning. So we had to, and we had to switch buses. Actually, we took a taxi to there. Then we had to pick up the bus. So we we got in and had no place to go. Fortunately, the one of the pastors traveling with us, or the pastor, actually the night before, the pastor that we were going to, his brother in his church has a daughter in that city who has 4 or 5 children. She's like the widow woman. She had 5 teenage kids and 4 teenage kids. And but anyway, so the night before, he and several brothers from Uganda and Tanzania who had gone on before us, they stayed there, and then they had let her know that there'd be some others coming by the next night. So 4 of us ministers stayed there. She gave us the house and to use, and for, you know, we were there for maybe 4 or 5 hours waiting for the bus to go out the next night. And you know how I am. I'm paranoid of mosquitoes and things. But anyway, you know, it was, I mean, you don't understand what quality of life you have here. You know, what your homes are like, and you know, you don't have dirt in your yard. You have grass. You know, you have sidewalks. You have blacktop. You have, even if you have gravel, you have gravel, but you don't have everything dirt. You know, your driveway's dirt. Your sidewalks are dirt. Your lawn is dirt. You know, it's just, and you're fortunate if, over there, if you have a light in the bathroom, you know. You know, they don't have them. I mean, they just don't have them. You put on your flashlight and, you know, hope that's good enough. And, you know, it's just the conditions are so different from what we're used to. You know, you sleep under a mosquito net so you don't wake up with malaria. And so we get up the next morning, 4 o'clock. We get to the bus station. We leave at 5. We arrive at 3 o'clock in the afternoon in Lusaka. The brother picks us up. We go to pick up a couple other brothers to take for the journey. And we now have 10 in the van, and we're traveling. We set out about an hour out of town, and the back wheel starts to wobble. And so it's wobbling, and so we get out, and the lug nuts are loose. So the brother, instead of asking the brothers to get out, he gets a lug nut wrench, and he starts to tighten, and he breaks off one of the lug nuts. So I said, "Brother, you can't do it that way." I said, "We need to get the brothers out of the van. We need to jack it up. We need to undo the lug nuts, reset the lug nuts, you know, top one, bottom, right and left, and make sure that the tires, first of all, set on there." And so we finally got through that ordeal, and we got on the road again. But we had to go fairly slow because we didn't want the lug nuts to break off and be, you know, in worse condition. So we tried to avoid every pothole, and about an hour after that, then the right rear tire had blown. Now, this is the same vehicle that the right front tire, or wheel, had to have a bearing replaced on the way to get us. So so now we have the left one, the right rear. Now we have the right rear, and it blew, and it blew bad. It sounded like a gunshot. So we pulled over, and we then proceeded to unload the brothers out of the van. Had to unload all the luggage out of the van. Had to get the spare out, take the one off, put the one on in the pitch black in the middle of the jungle someplace, and with no city lights or nothing. You know, they don't even have white stripes on the road, so you don't, you know, the drivers coming by, they don't even know sometimes if they're on the road or if not, if there's fog. And so it's not very easy conditions. And it's freezing out because it's winter there. And, you know, we just had our little summer coats with us, and so not realizing that it does get down to 32 degrees, you know, in South Africa and in Zambia. So we're standing by, and we're waiting. We get it on, get the luggage all put back in, the tire and everything, and we go about another 25 miles, and we blow the tire again, the new one, the spare one. And, of course, all of his tires weren't like our tires are. We have the tubeless. They all have tubes. I mean, not over there. They sell the tubeless, but they can't afford them. So what they do is they put a patched tube, and, you know, might have 8 patches on it, but, you know, they put another one on because that's all they can afford. And to begin with, they don't all have lug nuts. They don't have all their lug nuts. Every one of the tires was missing a lug nut. So, you know, instead of 6, they have 5. And then when they broke off the one, you're down to 4. And I was, you know, he kept cranking. I said, don't crank anymore because I don't want to get down to three. And so we finally, through the ordeal, we got back. But you have to remember, these people have different circumstances than we have. And now when I step into their circumstances, you know, God wants to reflect through these new set of circumstances for me. And I realized that, you know, for some reason, I wasn't upset. You know, there's an expression over there, it's TIA, this is Africa. And so we realized that, you know, we can't just call a number. You know, I had gotten a special cell phone. I had gotten it before I left. Brother Derek had one, he told me about it, so I got it. And, of course, my cell phone didn't work over there either. So, you know, I have all these new set of circumstances. I can't communicate with anybody. We're on the middle of the road in the jungle someplace. Big trucks coming by, and they're coming right for us, and you have to flash them. Like, you know, finally I figured out if I held my hand over it like a blinker, you know, they'd slow down, and that's what they did. And so we had a guy come by with a pickup truck, and I hopped in the back of the pickup truck with a couple of brothers. We put the two spare tires in. We got to the local town. Then we had to rouse the mechanic out of his bed. We sent a taxi for him. The pastor went with him to get the man, and so he had to change tubes out. And of course, the tubes they looked like they had, you know, like a shotgun had shot them, because they had so many holes in them that, you know, I mean they had like eight holes in one of them. It was just incredible how many holes they had, and that the tire even got him down to us, which was only 280 kilometers, or about not quite maybe 150 miles. But needless to say, it was just one circumstance after another. But you know, therefore, instead of being angry, though, we just learn to accept whatever condition that God has placed us in, and try to make the best of it. That does not make you any less tired. You know, we've been traveling for 36 hours with, you know, no sleep. But it does give you peace. We do not realize how poor people are until you realize that having all your lug nuts on your tires is a luxury. So, anyway, after finally getting there at 3 a.m. at the hotel, we had to get up in a few hours because we had 72 brothers waiting us to speak. But remember, that's Africa. We have our circumstances here. They have their circumstances there. But God sent us here to deliver His message. He sent us there. And it matters not whether the circumstances are the same as what we're used to or not. So we're at peace. And Paul said that we must learn to be content in whatever circumstances we're in. And that's the biggest pressure we have. We force ourselves into situations sometimes where we get nervous, where we begin to respond in an angry way, or we begin to respond in ways that aren't from God, because we do it. And yet, those circumstances that you're put in, God puts you in there for a purpose. It's a test. It's to build your character. We're so focused on today. What if this doesn't happen? What will be the rest of my life? What if this happens? What will... And forget about it. Take one day at a time. Be thankful for what we have. Be thankful that God has opened up to us an opportunity to allow Him to use our vessel to minister to others in whatever capacity we're ordained to. If you're a housewife, God can still use you in a great capacity. There's children that you are transforming through the implementation of maybe sometimes the little stick, but you're transforming their little minds and their character to be conformed to the image, to have the values, the judgment, and the opinion of your father. You see? And Brother Branham often talked about the little woman who raised up the boy, and he went, and I guess it was just one little old lady and this boy come in into that service, and that preacher had come to town, and there were just the two of them in the whole service. But that young boy ended up being, evangelist, was that?
Moody.
Yeah, Brother Moody, Dwight Moody. And he set the nation on fire at one point. So, you know, see, God can use us in whatever capacity we are in. He might not use you to do the thing, but He might use the one that you train to do the thing. You know, Brother Vail hasn't gone to the places I've gone, but he trained me, you see. And so, you know, I've become the legs. I've become the feet, you know. And so I've gone to, you know, 49 countries now And but yet, you know, it was through his instruction and his mentoring, if you want to call it that, that I am where I am. So, you know, these are the things that we have to understand, that when we see that no matter what circumstances I live in, my set of ecosystem, so to speak, God wants to use it. You see? And so when I go overseas and speak to the brothers who live in such different worlds than that we live in, yet I see that God wants to live out through them no less than he lived out through his own son, Jesus Christ. And that is because God has already ordained it. And so he has set the circumstances that surround our lives. He did it, not you. It was not good luck that he placed that you're placed where you're at. It was God who set you where you are at today. From Psalm 37:23 says, the footsteps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord, and he delights in his way. Proverbs 16:9 says, a man's heart devises his way, but it's the Lord who directs his steps. Proverbs 3 says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. But where I see the problem with the churches today is that people want to dodge what God has for them. We do not accept that our set of circumstances means anything to God. We say, I prayed, he's not hearing my prayer. Well, that's because you're praying to change God. Pray that he would change you. It does. And your unique sort of trial are there to build his character in you. From a sermon, Balm and Gilead, Brother Branham said, you know, the new birth, what people want to dodge. They want to dodge that issue. So the devil patches it up and says, when you believe, then you're born again. That's not right. Listen, any birth, as I said before, any birth is a mess. I don't care what it is. If it's in a pig pen, it's a mess. A mess of pigs being born out there, it's a horrible thing. If it was out in the world when a calf is born, it's a horrible thing, nasty mess. If it's out in the pink decorated hospital room, it's still a mess. And the new birth is a mess. But you have to have that messy thing to bring forth new life. Amen. That's what's the matter with the people today. They're afraid it'll wash some of the paint off their face and make them straighten up. They got the toxin, but they don't want to take it. And God's going to ask you someday why you don't take it. Why didn't you? There's a toxin. There's a balm in Gilead. There's physicians there. But the reason is because the people don't want to subscribe to this physician. They want an aspirin instead. They don't want the diagnosis of the case. When you go into the doctor and tell him, I'm sick, my stomach's hurting, my head's hurting, if he wants to get rid of you, well, the first thing he'll do is he'll just give you a little formula that's got some aspirin in it and send you home. That's not a doctor. He's trying to get rid of you. A real doctor will examine that case till he finds the reason and then start to work from there. From turning northward, Brother Brown said, these twin revivals, one brings forth a man that's supposed to be intellectual. Most have been schooled. They're trying to dodge that issue of the new birth. The church is trying to dodge it. Today we take people by the water baptism. We put them in the church by water baptism. You might put them in the church by water baptism, but you'll never put them into Christ by water baptism. You got to be born in there by the Spirit. That's right. As I've often said, I say again, I don't care what kind of a birth it is. Any birth is a mess. If it's in a pig pen or if it's in a corn shock or if it's in a pink decorated hospital room, it's a mess. And so is the new birth a mess. It'll make you do things that you never thought that you'd do. It'll make you weep. It'll make you bawl. It'll make you cry. It'll raise up your hands and turn all kinds of shines and everything else. And you'll act disgraceful before a starchy self-styled group. But you don't care as long as you get that new birth. You see, the problem we have is that people say, well, I want this. I want to have something great. I want to be big. I want to do this. And yet we don't understand that God wants to prove you first in the little things. You see, the little boy has to learn how to walk before he can run a hurdle. You see? And you walk before you can run. And God gives you the little things to try and test you. And when you've passed that, he says, come up higher. And so you go up a little higher, and then you pass that, he says, come up higher. You see? From the message, why, Brother Ramson, now the thing of it is that they're trying to dodge a new birth. They've got too much prestige, and that's our problem in America. We got too much prestige, you know. They got too much head knowledge. Whenever you get to a place that you feel like you're a little better than somebody else, when you get to a place that you think that your stand in life is just a little higher than the other one, you ain't going to get nowhere anyhow. That's right. But there's one thing about the new birth. It'll make a tuxedo suit and a pair of overalls put their arms around one another, call each other brother. It'll make a gingham dress and a silk dress put their arms around one another and call each other sister. Whenever you really get down to business with God, that's right. You see, the problem is, you know, we think that people have to have our materiality. Our materiality means nothing. You can't take it with you. And when you focus on that, you're focused on the wrong thing. And you're not happy with that. That can't make you happy. Notice that Brother Bram said that people have too much prestige. We must learn to surrender, then, our prestige to God. In fact, from the meanest man in Santa Maria, Brother Bram said, the new birth is the same thing. It's a mess. But it comes life out of that mess. Only way that you can receive life is through a birth. It's messy, but it makes life. People try to dodge it. They don't want to wash the mascara off their face. You'd look a whole lot prettier if you wouldn't wear it, sister. Yes. And if you'll try a little Acts 2 and 4 instead, it'll beat that max factor every time. I'll tell you that. If you just try a little bit of that, it'll be an eternal beauty, a sweet, meek, quiet spirit. That's what this woman had. That's what Esther had when she come before the king. That's the reason she overrun the other girls, because she would come adorning herself with a sweet spirit before him. You see? Now listen, all men try to dodge what God has for them. Even Jesus Christ himself tried to dodge what God had for him. Did you know that? Jesus Christ, our eldest brother, the firstborn of God, the uniquely born one, the one who was born without sin, he tried to dodge the cross. But after praying all night, he just surrendered himself to God's will for his life. Now that is not just my opinion. Brother Branham said, a vindicated prophet. From souls that are in prison now, Brother Branham said, I've told you the truth. I've hated to do it. Not hating because I don't want to do what God tells me, but I love you. I don't want to hurt you. So what I'm going to do, but pure divine love will drive you to it. Jesus even prayed to dodge the cross. Is it possible that the cup should pass? He said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Didn't Brother Branham, as we read a few weeks ago, where Brother Branham said that God waited on his son to make up his mind? Why? Because he was trying to dodge it. Trying to dodge it. You know what the word dodge means? Play dodgeball. Somebody throws a ball at you, you get out of the way. He tried to get out of the way of his responsibility. Don't we all? Can I hear an amen? Huh? And from his sermon, God hiding. Look, that just makes you like the sun, right? Not the way God wants you to be, but he was that way. But he surrendered himself, and you can too. You see? From his sermon, God hiding himself in simplicity, he said, when you surrender fully, he'll come in fully. But until you surrender, he can't come in fully. So surrender. Surrender your thoughts. Surrender your thinking. Surrender your life. Surrender your all. Surrender your prestige. Surrender everything to him now. And he'll come in and fill you with the Holy Ghost. That's what he's here to do. We can stop right there and have prayer. And ask God to help us surrender. I pray in your seats right now, if you haven't fully surrendered, that you would. As we continue in paragraph 87 of Spoken Word's original seed, Brother Bram said, all right, we notice then, see, the spoken word. Then we are God's word made manifest. That's how God wants his church, is to manifest himself. How can we manifest himself unless his own seed is in that person? How can you use your own thoughts and God manifest himself through you? How can you take your own belief and say, well, my pastor teaches, my creed says this, days of miracles, how are you going to do that and then be a manifested son of God? How are you going to do it? The death of Jesus wasn't nothing to you. Oh, I accept him as my Savior. You don't. You say you do, but you don't. Your works proves what you are. Jesus said the same thing. If you think I am illegitimately born, and they said, we're Abraham's seed, we're Abraham's son and need nobody to teach us. He said, if you was Abraham's children, you'd know me. See? He said, which one of you condemns me of sin, unbelief? Show me one thing that God promised of me that ain't fulfilled. Show me one thing that the Father promised that I haven't fulfilled. Sin is unbelief. Let's see you produce it then. That dehorned them. See? Certainly said, who's accusing me? Who can condemn me with sin, unbelief. See, if I don't believe, then why is the Father doing through me like He's doing every word that He promised? Now let me see where you got it in yours. So what Brother Branham is telling us here is that we are ordained to reflect the image of the original seed, and that could not be possible unless we have the life that was in the firstborn seed. For if we have the life, then we have the nature. For the two are one in the sense that the nature of the life is the reflected attributes and manifested characteristics of the life in the seed. Look, if we're so absorbed by our daily life, then we cannot be living for Christ, and it is not Christ that's living in us. I'd like to read you a different translation. It's called The Message. It's from Romans 13, verse 8 to 10. Paul says, don't run up debts except for the huge debt of love you owe each other. When you love others, you complete what the law has been after all along. The law says, don't sleep with another person's spouse. Don't take someone's life. Don't take that which isn't yours. Don't always be wanting what you don't have, and any other don't that you can think of. Finally, adds up to this: love other people as well as you love yourself. You can't go wrong when you love others. When you add up everything in the law, the sum total is love. But make sure that you don't get so absorbed and exhausted in taking care of all your day-to-day obligations that you lose track of the time and doze off oblivious to God. The night is about over. Dawn is about to break. Be up and awake to what God is doing. God is putting the finishing touches on the work that He began when we first believed. We can't afford to waste a minute. Must not squander these precious daylight hours in frivolity and indulgence, in sleeping around in dissipation and bickering and grabbing everything in sight. Get out of bed and get dressed. Don't loiter and linger, waiting until the very last minute. Dress yourselves up in Christ and be up and about. Remember, we mentioned about how Jacob came as a firstborn son. You see, Isaac was not some doting old grandfather. He wasn't some dumb, blind prophet like the people want to make him. He knew that when Jacob came, he smelled like Esau. He dressed like Esau. He felt like Esau. He came doing the works of Esau. He made the food that Esau made that his father enjoyed. He was doing the works. And he came speaking like Esau. And he came in Esau's name. And when he fulfilled, when he had put on Esau, when he put on the firstborn, the blessing of the firstborn was his. And when we put on Christ, when we smell like Him, talk like Him, act like Him, come in His name, speaking like Him, God is obligated to give us the blessing of the firstborn son. So in putting on Christ, we must put off self and let the mind that was in Christ be in us. That is what God wants. From Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, Brother Branham said, now here's what happens. When a man starts out, he will go to reason. He will go to the schools of theology. He will go to the church and from church to church and wonder if this one's got the truth or if that one's got the truth. Or he will make his membership from one church to another. You should never do that. You should put your membership in heaven on the book of life, and there it'll be forever. Now, all churches, Christian churches, has good meanings, every one of them. I believe every one of them has truth. And now I don't mean to say now they don't have all the truth. Sure, I believe if they believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that's truth. Amen. But what a man will do, he will hear a little something and keep moving his papers. Well, now, you'll never find Christ moving your papers. You have to move your thoughts. You have to move your thinking and get away from your reason and move your thoughts from your own way of thinking to what God thinks. Let the mind that was in Christ Jesus be in you. And then when you begin to think His thoughts, you begin to live His life and do the things that He did. See what I mean? Now, because it's not you, it's Christ. Look, what we're saying is not positive thinking. The devil has positive thinking. The devil has more positive thinking than we know what to do with. But we want the mind that was in Christ to be in us. That is what we want. That is what God wants. He wants us to be conformed to the image of His firstborn Son who came forth in His own image. from why it had to be shepherds, Brother Branham said they should have called it some kind of working of an evil spirit against their positive thinking. You hear so much today about positive thinking. You just put your mind on anything and think positive on it. The devil can do that. There's only one thing that rules over all, and that's God's Word. If you're thinking contrary to the Word, forget your thinking. Think on the Word. Messiah, they thought, would not be found in such a place, a mess as that. Could you imagine a fine, great high priest or clergyman, all polished in theology, would come down to a stable full of manure and accept the message of a poor, humble shepherd that had no education and would come and say, see, I can prove it to you that this is the baby, this is the messenger. And you know what them people would have said? The man is honest, he's very sincere in what he's saying, but he's absolutely wrong. Oh yeah, that's what they said about Brother Branham. You know, he's very honest, he's very sincere, but you know, he just don't know his Bible. Just don't know his Bible. But he said, well, I know the author pretty good. From Future Home, Brother Branham said, how many of you wondering how that discernment comes? I'm going to tell you. See, it's a word that I say, and it isn't my thinking. Because I don't know. I don't know of the thinking of it. How can I tell you who you are and where you come from when I don't know you? How can I tell you what you've done 10 years ago when I never seen you in my life? How can I tell you where you do and what you'll do in 10 years from now? How do I know the future? But it is something, somebody else's thought. Let the mind that was in Christ be in you. Let the mind that was in Christ be in you. See, then it isn't your thinking. It's His thinking through you. And you're not expressing your own words. You're expressing His words. That's why the Bible says, then they who love the Lord, he began to, and they spoke about the Lord. He says that the Lord hearkened and heard it. A book of remembrance was written of them that talked about Him. And then He said, and then they shall be mine, as a father spareth his son that serveth him. And then shall they go forth and discern between righteous and wicked, between those who are serving God and those who serve Him not. That discernment, which was given to us freely through a vindicated prophet, shown freely, is to be in every one of us. The same yesterday, today, and forever. And Brother Branham said, it's not my own thinking. So it's not going to be your own thinking. It's His thinking through you. You understand? Okay. From God's gifts always find their way. He says, God works through human beings to redeem human beings. He can take you, work through you to redeem humanity. If you completely dedicate everything you are, if you're a young woman, dedicate your morals. If you're a young man, dedicate your morals. Dedicate your mind. Dedicate your thinking. Dedicate your heart. Dedicate your soul. Dedicate all that you are and let Christ work through that. What a glorious thing. And from who is this? He said, a supernatural God cannot change His nature to fit people's nature. People have to change their nature to fit God's supernatural plan. And that's why people cry, who is this? It's God in the midst of His people. They don't understand it. God will never come to your level. You'll have to come to His. God will not come to your requirement. You have got to come to God's. And then when that requirement is met upon a promise that God made to redeem the people, if that requirement has met, your entire being changes. Your thinking changes. Your habits change. Everything about you changes. Your desires change. Your living changes. Your habits change. You change. Everything about you changes because it's a new life in you. And from Can We See Jesus, he said, you have to have God on the inside before you can see Him on the outside. And there's many people that doesn't seem to understand that what God is. But He has come in and looks through your eyes. He uses your eyes and your mind, your thinking and your sight, your emotion. All has to be fully controlled by God. And from door to the heart, say now, you can come in. You don't dare open that door. Don't you go to this one, but you can stand right here. Would you feel very welcome? That's the way that some of the church members are. You just let Him come in. Oh, you want Him to be your Savior, but He wants to be the Lord. Lord is rulership. He wants to be your ruler, not just a Savior only. You want Him as a Savior, but what about being your Lord? That'll control you, control your emotions, control your thinking, control your every fiber of you. That's what that you could say like the man years ago who let Him in. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Let Him in, and in that way to be ruler and Lord over you. Again, from door inside a door, Brother Bram said, you must let him be the supreme ruler. That is, he's over all. He's over your opinions. He's over everything that you have. He's over your emotions. He's over your ideas. He controls every fiber of your thinking. Everything that you are, you should turn it over to him if he's going to be your Savior and your Lord. Again, from Junction of Time, he says, the unsearchable thinking of man can never comprehend the miraculous. You have to come in contact with omnipotence. Then when you do that, you're in contact with the supernatural. Your life changes. Your thinking changes. Your mind changes. You're made different. Your sickness is finished. God's great power moves in. Moses at the bush, he saw and heard the omnipotent, and he seen the miraculous. God wasn't satisfied with giving Moses just a message to go down and preach along to the Egyptians and to preach to the Israelites. God, the omnipotent and the miraculous God, wasn't a God if he just revealed it to one man. But he said, take these signs, hallelujah, take these signs and show them down there. I'll be with you. Change. The junction has come. Time for something to take place. But before that time takes place, God gives his warning. I'm still Jehovah, I still live, and I'm not omnipotent, and I'm the miraculous God. You know, the whole nation last year was looking for change. You know, you and I were looking for change too, but it doesn't come through politics. It comes through the Word of God. You see, from faith of Abraham, and every believer in here is a Christian tonight because, not that you're good, but because God was good to call you. You couldn't come yourself, your nature's against you. You just couldn't. As I said the other night, make a pig believe he's wrong eating slop because it's his nature, see? Now, and the leper could not change his spots no matter how bad that he would lick it. He'd only brighten it. And you don't want reformation. You don't want to try to reform or do a little better. You've got to be changed completely inside out. And the nature come from within, and it'll work out. But get it right inside at the beginning, and you begin with a soul before the world was ever formed. When God created man in his own image, now you got to get that right. That's what has to be born again. Not your thinking. It takes care of. It moves with this. But get this right, and this will be right too. If you just get your heart right, your intellectual will move right with it. Now, how that he called Abraham 75 years old, and also Sarah being 65 years old, told them about a baby that they were going to have. And Abraham waiting 25 years before the baby ever come, testifying every day perhaps that he was going to have the baby, and him and Sarah, and him was going to have it when he was getting more impossible all the time. But he didn't look at how old Sarah was or how old he was getting. He looked at what God had promised. Amen. Do you see it? He didn't look and say, well, I prayed and I prayed and I prayed, and I'm still not getting it. He said, God promised it. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, ask what you will and it'll be given. Amen. The problem is you try to get it on your own terms. Get it on his terms and it'll be perfect. Amen. Father, you said, if I abide in you and your word abides in me, then ask what I will. Father, I have this need. And the need is getting greater every day. And I pray, Father, that you would bring that thing to me. And Lord, I'm coming because you promised. And I know that you're not a man that you could lie, nor the Son of Man that you could repent. But you gave me a promise. And here's your scripture for that promise. And I'm asking you, God, to bring that thing to pass in my life. You watch. God will do it. From God's only provided place of worship, or God's provided way, Brother Ram said, you have to die. You have to die before you can be reborn. Any seed has to die before it's regenerated again. Unless it dies, it abides alone. A man's got to die to his own thinking. He's got to die to the thinking of anything but God's word and come his way. That's God's ground. We don't meet him on our thoughts. We meet him on what he said, do. That's God's provided way for us. People dodge it. They don't want it. But it's the truth just the same. It'll produce death and you have to die. Die to your thinking. Well, I know the Bible says, but I just can't understand it. Then stay there till God reveals it. That's right. That's the new birth. And from the absolute, Brother Bram said, now, The thing you have to do, here's just a little insight, see, is catching her spirit, see, and then you are projecting to her your very thoughts, see, and you change your thinking, see. Then when it does that, then you can enter, then you can center her on Christ, and from there she can go on. But you've got to change her way of thinking, see. She can't change it herself. She's just running the world. And you've got to pick that up. Now, there is a little something that give to some. Don't try to study it. Don't try do it. But just believe it and go on. Brother Brown said, look, that girl didn't have faith to get healed. Brother Brown said, I know that your faith is weak. I know you don't have faith for yourself. But he said, let me show you something. I have faith. And Brother Brown said, you see that string hanging down? He said, now watch, I'm going to make it swing this way. And so Brother Brown began to concentrate on it, and it began to swing this way. Then he let it stop. He said, now, so you don't think it was the wind. He said, I'm going to make it go the other direction. And when he made it go the other direction now, he said, now, do you have faith that I can pray and God will hear my prayer? She said, yes. He said, then based on that faith, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, stand on your feet and you're healed. You see, he had to get her out of her own stupor, out of her own unbelief. She didn't have faith for herself, and neither do you have faith for yourself in whatever promise it is that you're lacking. But Paul didn't say, I'm living by my faith in the Son of God. He said, I'm living by the faith of the Son of God. I'm living by His faith in what He's done for me. So you need to take that and ride that. Oh yeah. I'm talking about riding the Spirit. Riding the Spirit. Riding the Spirit. You get on a horse, you try to do this to the horse, that to the horse, he'll throw you. But if you get on that horse and just let loose, let go, relax, and ride with him, get into his rhythm. And when you ride with his rhythm, you can really take off, you can really move. But if your rhythm is different from the horse, you're going to be sore. You're going to be hurting. And if your rhythm is different from the Holy Spirit, it's going to be very confusing to you. So get rid of your rhythm. Get into neutral. And you find yourself riding the Holy Spirit wherever He takes you. From the Spirit of Truth, Brother Ramson, now is such a marvelous thing. And yet it's so simple. If we would just stop and think, we press, we quiver, we fear, we get in frustrations and doubts just thinking. Well, must I press in? It isn't that. It's just yielding. Realizing that you're nothing and just let Him completely take you over. Take over your thinking. Amen. Now, I don't mean to walk up to Christ with just a blank mind. I don't mean that. You come to Him in your right mind and in a penitent mind and humble. And then say, Lord Jesus, here I am. Now, it's written here in your word that you had many things yet to say to the disciples. You said they could not hear them now. And perhaps that's our case today. We cannot understand it. Look. As I said, you've got to ride the Spirit. Know where the Spirit's going. Just go with Him. Ride with Him. Years ago, Brother Vail was explaining to me several ministries. And he said, you know, Brother Roger, when he preaches, it's like a song. He said, you know, it's kind of music. And he said, Brother Jack, you know, he's kind of bulldogish faith. You know, can really preach that faith really, you know, in a way like that. And I said, Brother Vail, I said, what do you look at in my ministry? He said, Brian, he said, you're one that you can ride the Spirit. And I said, what do you mean by riding the Spirit? He said, when the Spirit moves, you move. When He turns, you turn. He said, you just ride Him. And understanding that, you know, I see it more and more and more. I go to Africa, I don't use notes. I bring them if I need them. But I don't use notes. Preach 2 or 3 hours right from the Scripture. The Holy Spirit just quickens the Scripture just immediately before I say it. Jesus said, the Father works, the Son worketh hitherto. He said, I teach only what the Father commands me to say. And when you get so yielded that you begin to speak to the people and out of your mouth comes the words. Just as quickly as your thoughts are coming, the words are coming out of your mouth. And the people are being lifted up in heavenly places in Christ. And grievances are gone. The brothers, they said a real miracle took place in these meetings. They said there's 8 churches in this town. And none of the ministers ever looked into each other's eyes. Wouldn't even pass each other on the street. There was a competition. And they said, now we're all hugging. We're in love. We recognize we're all sons. And so we're going to now get together. We're going to study the doctrine together. And we're going to try to get the last one in, child trained, so we can go home. You see, you be faithful to the little thing and God will give you a bigger thing. Just get on and ride. Let Him take you where He's going. John said, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. It's not knowing where you're going. It's just knowing whom you're going with. That's what counts. Children get in the car with mom and dad. They don't care where we're going. They're just glad to be with mom and dad. You see? From the message oneness, he said, what is it? You've got to get with the word, get yourself killed out. I'm persuaded that many of us friends have received the Holy Ghost, but we have received enough Holy Ghost in us to make us to a place where we don't want to lie, we don't want to steal, we don't want to do anything. But God wants to fill every fiber of His church. He wants to fill your thinking. He wants to fill your mind. He wants to fill every bit of you. Just make you completely, totally dead to yourself or to your thinking. Just so surrendered in God till His words just live right through you. You don't know nothing else but God's Word. You just stay right with His Word. It is life. His words are life, said Jesus. He's placed with them teachers believe in the Bible, prophets that say the truth, that say show the same prophecy that they always did down through the ages. What's He done? He's showing Himself alive among them, confirming His Word, His kingdom. His Word, the kingdom of God, is God's Word made power. Just a few more quotes, we'll close. From the token, Brother Bram said, as we see the great ensign of the time at hand, warning us, time is at hand. Oh, take this solemnly. We should love one another. Oh, my. We should be so in love. Don't never speak evil against one another. If somebody makes a mistake, pray for him right quick. We are together in this with God. We are brothers and sisters. Oh, live godly. Live like daughters of God. Live like sons of God. Live sweet and kind and humble. Let no evil come in your mind, in your thinking. Just dismiss it. If it knocks on the door, take it away. Just say, just show your token. Just keep walking. I'm under the blood. And from conference. And you know, that's exactly what Paul said in Philippians. He said, if we've risen with Christ and we've died to ourselves, he said, then think on these thoughts. And he said, you know, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are pure, if there be any you know, goodness, if there be any of these things, think on these things. And so from the message conference, Brother Ann said, you must be born again. Everything has to die away. All your theology, all your thinking, all you ever was or ever expect to be, your life and everything else dies away. And then the Holy Spirit comes in. That's when you take off hats and shoes and stand before God. Nothing in my arms I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. That's where Moses had to come, where he could obey what God said do, the burning bush conference. Then God said, I'll show you my glory now. After he was willing to go, and he went down into Egypt. And in closing, he said, he that is in you, he said, if we only could receive this truth. Now just a moment, if we could only receive what the scripture means. He that is in you is greater than he that's in the world. We can't understand that, yet we say we believe it. And we know it's true, but we really don't understand it. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. What is in you that's greater? Is Christ, the anointed. God that was in Christ is in you. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Then if he is in you, it's not you anymore living. It's him living in you. See? It's not your thinking and what you would think about this. It's what he said about this. See? Then if he is in you, he absolutely would not deny what he said. He couldn't do it. But he would keep what he has said. And he's trying to find that person that he can vindicate himself through. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, may it be me. All of us saying this, Father, not just me up here, but all of us saying, Father, may it be me that you would vindicate yourself through. May it be me, Father, that you would live your life through. May it be my set of circumstances, Lord, that you would be Lord of my life, that you would live out my life for me. Help me, Father, just to yield myself, to get myself out of the way, to die to my own thinking, to die to my own desires. Fill me with your desires, Father. Fill me with what you want me to do, what you want me to say, who you want me to talk to, who you want me to uplift, who you want me to help out. Father, I just pray that somehow this vessel might be conformed to the image of your Son. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's sing that song, I Know Whom I Have Believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him.